Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Romans chapter 5 verse 5 says, "Now hope does not disappoint." Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Somebody say, God loves me. And he's got good things for me. And he'll never disappoint me. Now, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 13. And in verse 12, it says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." So when what you're hoping for comes to pass, it is a tree of life. But notice, hope deferred. Well, first of all, the word hope in the original language means expectation. Things that you're expecting. Are we expecting anything? We are in expectation. We have any expectations about things to come? Well, that's hope. Now, the word deferred means delayed, to be postponed, put off, drawn out, drag along. So there's folks that have been hoping for things, and what they're hoping for just keeps dragging along, delaying. Seems like it's being postponed. And you know, the words come, this is the year. This is the year of bigness. This is the year of fulfillment. And another year goes. And what folks were hoping for didn't seem to happen. And so the delay continues. The postponement continues. And as a result of that, the Bible says the heart or the spirit is made sick. The word sick means weak. Grieved, pained. And I believe there's a lot of people that are walking around with pained spirits. Hearts that are pained. They have pain in their spirit. They're disappointed. They're grieved. And it's made them spiritually weak. And some folks just don't have it anymore. They just don't have the oomph to rise up and pray and read the word and really go after God and things. Because, you know, there's so many things that they were expecting, that they were hoping for, that never came to pass. Still has never come to pass. And so now they've just kind of given up on a lot of things. And on the inside, in their heart, they're discouraged. They're discouraged. They're pained. They're sick. But I want you to look over here, Proverbs 13, because we just saw in Romans chapter 5, verse 5, that hope does not disappoint. Hope does not disappoint. So what is the problem? Why the delay? Why the postponement? Why have things been put off? Why haven't things that we were hoping for, why haven't they come to pass? Why haven't we seen it happen if hope does not disappoint? Well, let's dig into this a little bit, and I believe we're going to get some big answers tonight. Oh, man, hallelujah. Hearts are going to be healed. Hearts are going to get happy. Hearts are going to get set free tonight from some pain that they've been carrying around for a long time. People have been hurting on the inside. You know, how you are on the inside is going to affect the outside. So if your spirit is weak and grieved and sickly and broken down, then that's going to affect you on the outside. It's going to affect your performance. It's going to affect the quality of the life that you live in this world. So it's very important to get these things right, and I believe we're going to tonight. Let's look at the word comes. But when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. I looked up that word, and it means to go in. To enter, attack, that's interesting, to attain to, to carry in, to bring in, to cause to come in. That's what this word comes mean in the Hebrew language. Notice that. To carry in. Let me ask you a question. Who is going to carry in what you are expecting or waiting for? Because notice what it says again. It says, when the desire comes, when the desire enters in, when the desire is carried in, it's a tree of life. And so folks, they're in hope. They're waiting for their ship to come in. They're waiting for something to come in. In other words, to come to them. But who is going to carry it in? Because that is another translation of this word, to carry in. So who is going to, what's the ship that's going to carry it in? That's a big part of being able to receive. I asked my wife today, we ordered something, and she ordered it last week, and there's been no sign of it. And so I asked her, I said, who's going to be bringing it? You know, and she told me the company's name. I said, yeah, but who is going to bring it? Is it FedEx? Is it UPS? She looked it up and found out it was FedEx. That's who's going to bring. Well, that helps. Now I know what to look for. Look for the FedEx truck. Don't get excited when you see UPS. Look for the FedEx truck. Who's going to carry in what you're hoping for? How many want the answer? I can give it to you right now. You ready? You. You. You are to go in. You are to go and enter in into what it is you desire. See, a lot of folks are hoping for things and they're waiting for it to come to them, to enter into their world. No, we are to enter into the desires of our heart. We're to enter into the things that we are expecting from God. This is huge because folks are waiting for something to come to them when it's them that's supposed to come to it. We're not to be sitting back waiting for our desire to come to us. We're to come into our desires. Waiting is delaying. Waiting is deferring. That's why he said hope deferred, hope delayed makes the heart sick. And a lot of folks, they are delaying. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 in verse 8. It says, there is one alone without companion. He has neither son nor brother, yet there's no end to all his labors, nor is his eye satisfied with riches. Doesn't matter how much money he has, he's not happy. But he never asks, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? This is also vanity and a grave misfortune. Notice that. He doesn't ask the question, whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? Notice, deprive myself. See, he's not asking himself that question. He's asking questions like, why is God depriving me of good? Why is God depriving me of this thing that I've asked for? Why is God keeping this from me? Why hasn't God brought it to me? And the real question is, why are you depriving yourself of coming into the thing that you desire? Why are you delaying? Why are you delaying? Why aren't you going in? Why are you postponing enjoying the good things that you're expecting to have from God, because his Bible is a Bible, it's a book full of promises of good things. Full of promises of good things. Why are you depriving yourself of good? I don't know why they're depriving me of good. Why is this person depriving me of good? Why don't they do for me? Why are they holding me back? Why is this person holding me back? And the real question is, why are we depriving ourselves of good? Why are we depriving ourselves of the things that we desire and that we're and should be expecting to receive from God? See, again, it comes back to us coming into our desires, not our desires coming to us. And we'll look at this more closely and we'll understand it more fully. But I remember the prodigal son. The prodigal son, you know, he went out. He took his inheritance and he went out and spent it on wild living. And then, of course, you know, he came, hit rock bottom and returned home. And the dad saw him and dad was so excited. Dad had a big feast for him, right? But then there was this other brother who had been faithful, had been working in the field, didn't go out, spend all his inheritance on reckless living. I mean, he'd been faithful, working hard, and when he heard that they were holding a feast for his brother who had returned home after being completely unfaithful, he was offended. He was offended at his father, who is a type of God in this story. He was offended. And so the father came to him, and because he saw his son wasn't coming to the party that they were having for the son that had returned home. And he was so offended. And he said, never have you killed a fatted calf for me. Here I've been working so hard in your field, and I've never, you know, I've always been faithful. I've always been doing what I'm supposed to be doing. I mean, I've been living by faith. I've been obeying you. I've been reading my Bible. I've been like perfect Christian. And yet, here I am, and these things were never done for me. And a little whippersnapper comes home, and he gets all this. It's not right. It's not right. He's offended. He's got an unhappy heart. But this is what his father said to him in Luke 15, verse 31. He said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. You are always with me. And all that. Now, this is a type of God our Father. And he says, son, how many sons, daughters of God do we have in this place tonight? Born again, born of God, in the family of God. He says to you, all that I have is yours. In other words, you got access to whatever you want. What are you waiting for? If you wanted the fatted calf, you know where to find it. If you wanted a nice robe, you know where to find it. It's all in the house. It's all in the place where you live. It's in the place where you are. Everything you want, son, you already have. You already have access to it. You have access to your desires. Because you're already in the house of desires. See, because you ought to understand the desires that you and I have. If they're Bible desires, then they're God's desires. God has given you those desires. And if you're in God, then you're in that place of desire. So that the desire you already have is already in the place where you are. Because that's where it came from. It came from him, came from his presence. Follow me closely, because we can get some serious victory here tonight. Psalm 27, verse 4 says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Now understand this. This is someone under the old covenant that is speaking this by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The psalmist is an old covenant man. And he said, the one thing I desire is that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Do you know what? I don't have to desire that. I'm already there. We are in the house of the Lord. New Testament believers are the house of the Lord, and we're in the house of the Lord. We are in him. So we are always with him. He is always with us, and we have access to everything in the house. So notice what he says. He says, one thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord. Behold every good thing, because every good thing comes from him. Every good thing flows out of him. To behold the Lord and to inquire in his temple. We could say to be able to pray in his temple. Well, friend, you and I, we have that under the new covenant. We pray in the place of blessing. We pray in him. We pray in the presence of every good thing. We are not on the outside of the house, out here, waiting for a blessing to come to us. Bless God, we are in the house of the blessings of God. We are in his presence. We have access to it. It is all around us, all the time, already. That's what you need to understand. It is all around you, all the time, already. And that's the place you need to see yourself. If you are going to see your expectations come to pass, you have to understand they're already here. Enter into it. Come into it. Attack it. Walk in it. Go get it. It's yours. It's yours already. Everything I could ever want or ask for is already with me in the house. It's kind of like you're in a house and there's all different rooms in the house. Now all you got to do is just pick which room you want to come into. Whatever room you want, you have access to it because you are a member of his household. Psalm 37. Verse 4, he says, delight yourself in. Everybody say in. Yeah. You got to know you're in. Well, I'm waiting for my ship to come in. Why are you waiting for your ship to come in when you're already in the ship? See what I'm saying? People are over here in the ship waiting for the ship to come in. That's a confused group of people. Well, actually, it's just like the elder brother. He's a perfect example of a person who's in the ship waiting for his ship to come in. And that's why the father looked at him and said, son, you're in the ship. You're in the house. All that you want is yours. Why are you delaying to enjoy it? Why are you delaying to enter into what you are expecting from me, which is what I promised you? Enter into it. Enjoy it. He says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, of course, we know New Testament, 2 Peter chapter 1, he has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already given everything you could ever want or desire. He's already given it to us. And it's all in him. And so we're in him. So let's delight in what we have which is what we want, and we will end up having more of what we're expecting. That's why I said you had to pay attention. We have access to the rooms because we are in the house. Romans chapter 5. In verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. He is with us. And we're with him. Praise God, we have peace with God. Through our Lord, right there. I mean, when you know that he's with you, you're with him, then you're going to have peace. You're not going to be anxious. You're not going to be frustrated and fretful. Son, you're always with me. You're always with me. We have peace with God. We're with God. The result of that is peace. And it's through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2. Through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Notice that. We have access into something that we're already standing in. Did I just read that? We have access into something that we're already standing in. And it's the grace of God, which is the goodness of God, all that he is, all that he has, freely bestowed upon us. Every good thing is in the grace of God. And we have access to it while we stand in it. See, it's easy to get into something you're already standing in. I said it's easy to get into something you're already standing in. And he says, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There's that word hope. That's what we started off with tonight. Hope, expectation. We're expecting things, aren't we? We're expecting things. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That's the manifested awesomeness of the Almighty. That's all that he has and all that he is. And grace is all of it freely bestowed upon us. We rejoice in hope and expectation of the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory or rejoice, that should be translated, in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. More hope. More expectation. Ha! Huh. So notice, we rejoice in hope. And then as we rejoice in hope of great expectation of the awesomeness of the Almighty coming into our life, being upon our life, we persevere through adversity. We persevere through things that would seem to be against us. And as we do, what happens? Character is being developed, and character is producing more hope, more expectation. So we have hope, but we're increasing in hope as we're persevering through adversity. So notice that faith, verse 2, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope. Notice that faith and hope are together. They're working together. They come together. Now, hold your place there and go to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Now, this is a message for people that want to get free but also want to dig. You want to get this. So it means you got to really listen. Because you can get this. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so the way we've looked at that is, well, you got to have hope before you can have faith. Right? So you got to have hope. You got to have an expectation of something. And then at some point, that hope has to turn into faith. And then you'll have what you were hoping for. How many people have kind of heard it that way? All right. But yet when we look at Romans chapter 5, verse 2, it says, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope. So we have, notice this, we obviously have faith, right? We have access by faith and we're rejoicing in hope. So we have faith and hope together at the same time. We have faith and hope together. So is it, first you got to have hope, then we don't need that anymore because then we graduate to faith. Or is it faith and hope together? If you're in faith, you have hope. If you're in hope, you have faith. It's not, I have hope and I need to get into faith. Once I get into faith, I don't need hope anymore. Wrong. Hope and faith are together. Notice again, Romans 5:2. We have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So in other words, faith belief. Remember, faith is in the present tense. Hope is future tense. So hope is an expectation of a desired end. But faith believes it has it now. So the word is telling us that we have access into something and we're standing in something. We have access to something and are standing in something now that we are hoping for. So we're in faith and hope at the same time. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hope is in faith. Hope is in faith. Faith is in hope. They're working together as one. Now, that's a huge thing right there. We start to get this. This is breakthrough stuff right here because most folks don't see it that way. They see it as hope. Then we graduate to faith, and we don't need hope anymore because now we got faith. In other words, it was future tense, but now it's present tense. But what the Bible's telling us here is that future and present are together. So the future and the present are now. So in other words, what you want, you have. The thing you're hoping for, you're already standing in. Faith says, I'm standing in it. Hope is saying, I'm going to have it. So hope says, I'm going to have it. It's excited about what it's going to have, while at the same time recognizing in faith, it already has it. Which means what? Which means everything you want, you already have in a limited form. In other words, we go from faith to faith, hope to hope, glory to glory. You have to begin to recognize that the thing you want is already in your life. And I'm not talking about just in the spirit. That's what you thought I was talking about. That's why I said you got to hang on with me. It's not just in the spirit. Everything that you're looking for is already here. It's already in your life. It's already around you. It's already available to you. But if you don't recognize that, then you'll never be able to get into the more of what you're looking for. In other words, everything you're looking for is just more of what you already have. And some of you are thinking, no, not what I'm thinking about. Hang on. Stay with me. I still have a few minutes. Did you hear what I said? Everything you're looking for is just more of what you already have. It's more of what you already have. It's not you don't have it and you're waiting for it to come to you. You're already in it. It's already around you. It's already in your life. And now there's just more of that. There's just more of it. So notice we have access into what we're already standing in. What you want, what you're hoping for is just more of what you already have, what you're already standing in. Because remember, hope is a confident expectation of a future reality, while faith believes and enjoys what it believes it already has. So, if you can't see that you already have in a limited form what you want, then you never will. You never will. You never will enjoy it. If you can't see that you already have it in a limited form, what you want, you will never have it. You'll never enjoy it. Having, enjoying what you're wanting is key to getting more of it. All right. How many people hoping for some more money? Expecting some money. How many maybe some relationships, some better, a better relationship? Better relationships, huh? How many people would like that? Well, you got to enjoy the ones you already have. Huh? Are you enjoying the money you already have? I don't have any money. That's the problem. You believe lies. I never have any money. You're deceived. And you never will enjoy what you want. You'll never see what you want because you don't believe you have what you already want. What about your call? How many people are expecting to be called of God and fulfill their ministry? You don't want to be held back in ministry by anybody, do you? Bless God. You want your ministry. You want to fulfill that calling, don't you? Well, I'm waiting. I'm waiting for my calling. Well, the calling is all about serving. Uh-huh. So serving where you are will bring you into your desire to serve in a greater measure. But you can't serve now where you are. You don't have a calling. You don't have a ministry. There's nowhere to serve except your neighborhood, except where you work, except the community around you, except in your church. But you don't have a ministry. You don't have a calling. You're waiting. You're waiting for God to call you. Now, if you don't acknowledge and use and enjoy the limited edition of what you want, if you don't enjoy that now, you never will. Well, I can't enjoy my money because I have too many bills. How many people would say that? That they can't enjoy their money because they have just too many bills right now. They need more money before they can enjoy their money. People believe that. They need more money because right now all they're doing is paying bills. How many people say, it just seems like all my money is going to bills? Who would say that? Don't stare at me like that. Be honest. How many people have said? How many people have said? You don't want to say it now, but how many people have said, all my money is going to bills? Huh? How many would say, or have said, that more of their money has gone to bills than to things they would enjoy? All right. Of course you'd say that. You've been saying that. That's your problem. That's why your heart's sick. But there's a physician in the house. I need more money before I can enjoy the money. Well, let's talk about the last meal you ate. Did that cost money? Maybe not the last meal, but have you had a meal that you've enjoyed lately? You're all staring at me. Have you had a meal that you enjoyed lately? Did it cost you money? So wait a second. So wait a second. You're saying you spent money on something you enjoy. That's amazing. Wait, let's talk about some of these bills. Let's talk about these bills. These bills that are robbing you of enjoying life. You can't enjoy life till you get more money because you got so many bills. Now, let's talk about the bills. So what kind of bills do we have? Do we have like a mortgage? Mortgage? Anybody have a mortgage? Does anybody enjoy having a house? Do you know that the bill that you have called the mortgage is actually giving you a dwelling place that Solomon wishes he had? Because I got news for you. Solomon did not have running hot water. He did not have electricity. He did not have HVAC. I got news for you. He did not have heat. He had to sit by a fire And there was no privacy because he had to have somebody sitting there smoking the thing. Okay, so he would love the kind of dwelling place that you have. So you're living like a king in a castle. You have yourself a dwelling place with carpet, running water, electricity, all kinds of beautiful things, refrigerators, stoves, right? All these things for your enjoyment. You have been spending money on yourself. You've been spending money for your enjoyment all along. You've been spending money to enjoy food. You've been spending money to enjoy electricity. You've been spending money to enjoy all kinds of different things in your life. Vehicles, nice car. Who walked here tonight? Well, I got this car payment. Wait a second. You have money that you are spending on a chariot that King David never drove. You understand what I'm saying? You got some horsepower. And you are spending lavishly upon yourself. No, no. See, what's happening is we see the bill. We don't see the pleasure. We don't see the enjoyment that we already are in. We see a bill and we're waiting for more money to come in so we can do the things we enjoy. When we're already doing the things we enjoy and have plenty of money to do it. See, you already have it, but because you don't acknowledge it and you don't enjoy it, you're always reaching and grasping for it. And you're deceived. You're living in deception. It's walking in darkness. And then this law kicks in Mark chapter 4, verse 23. Jesus said, "For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have." Who is that? It's nobody in this room. In reality. But yet, how many people talk? They don't have. I don't have. I don't have this. It says, "But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him." If all you see and talk are the bills, instead of seeing and talking the pleasures you have spent on yourself that generated those bills, then you're going to end up losing more and more and more in life and not gaining. And that makes the heart sick and disappointed because enjoyment is postponed. I'm waiting for it to come to me. I'm waiting to have it. I'm waiting for it. And you're actually losing it while you're in it and already having it. But you don't see it. You see the bill. You talk the bill. You talk the lack. And meanwhile, you're living in abundance. But if you begin to recognize all that I have, and I have plenty of it, and all these bills are bills that are paying for my pleasure, now you're enjoying life and get ready to see more and more of what you already have. See, it's hard to get something you don't have, but it's easy to multiply what you already have. But people are walking around talking what they don't have rather than talking all that they have and watching it multiply. Because to him who has, who acknowledges that he has, more will be given. And that's how you get into the more of what you are expecting from God. You're already living the dream, friend. Well, I'm wanting this, I'm wanting that. It's all around you already. You already have it already. Relationships are around you already. There's plenty of people to love. There's plenty of people to love. There's plenty of people to serve. There's plenty of people to help. There's plenty of people to do good things for. What makes you think by having more, things are going to get better for you? if you're not even enjoying the relationships and the things that you already have all around you all the time. See, it's not gonna happen. You're not gonna ever enjoy it. You're just like that mule that's got the carrot in front of him. He just keeps going around, just keeps going around. Start realizing what you have. Praise God forever. What are you waiting for? All that I have is yours. You should be able to take this message and personalize it and say, okay, well, I don't see where I have this in my life. You do. Stop and say, well, what is that? What is the purpose for that? That thing that you're wanting, what is the purpose for it? And you'll find you already have. You already have it to a degree in your life already. You're just not exercising it. You're not utilizing it. You're not giving, serving, loving, taking care of, blessing, and so forth and so on. You don't see it. You don't even realize it. Oral Roberts said this. He said, you're either experiencing a miracle or one is passing you by. We could say it this way. You're either experiencing what you're hoping for or it's passing you by. It's all around you. What you're hoping for is all around you. Start enjoying it now. Start talking what you already have. Start recognizing you already have access to it to a certain degree. And then be faithful with it. And it increases, whatever it might be. I mean, again, there's all kinds of personal things we can get into, but I don't want to spell all the personal things out. Someday I'll have the time and the money to go on a vacation and enjoy life. I'll experience the joy of giving when I have enough to give. I'll give when I have, you have it. You already have it. Praise God, you're giving all the time. You're giving to your mouth. You're giving to your body. You're giving to yourself all the time. You're a giver. Just a lot of times it's just to you. Amen. Praise God, it's just not to God. It's just not into his interests. But that's okay. God loves you anyhow. You can get out of the deception of thinking you're over here, this dry tree, all shriveled up. You're shriveling up, and you're waiting for something to come. I mean, I'm expecting big things, but that's not going to make me any happier than I already am right now, because I'm already enjoying those things where I am now. 1,000 more of you is not going to make me any happier than you're making me right now. I don't need 1,000 more of you to be happy. I really don't. Just give me one row. Just give me a couple folks. I'm happy as could be. Praise God, I get to preach the gospel. I get to share the good news. Hallelujah. Amen. But you see, some folks are depressed. They have to have more of it. They have to have more people. They have to have more money. They have more of this, more of that in order to be able to enjoy. That's a deception. That's a deception. You got to enjoy where you are on the way to where you're going. You got to enjoy what you have now on the way to having more of what you have right now. Can you say amen? Amen? Praise God forever. Somebody say, I want more kids. I want more kids. Go get some people born again. Get some people born again. Become a spiritual father. Become a spiritual mother to somebody. Oh, I can't do that. I'm okay. You can. You got kids around you all the time waiting to be adopted, waiting to be born. Born again. I don't want to get into a lot of personal things. But you have access to all kinds of things. It's nothing to be depressed about, nothing to be sick over, nothing to be grieved and pained over. It's time to get happy.
you're in the blessing. You're in the goodness of God. Whoo, hallelujah. I'm in the goodness of God, man. Whoo, hallelujah. I have all things that pertain to life and godliness. It's all around me all the time right now. Praise God. Well, I'll be happier when I'm, you know, I'm living better. Well, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus right now. And I'm growing in it, growing in my understanding and consecration, growing in my holiness, holy walk with God. But I'm enjoying where I am on the way to where I'm going. Amen. Some people say, I'm just so unworthy. Well, Jesus made you worthy. I don't know why you feel that way. But if you want to feel so unworthy because you slipped and slopped and fell in the pig slop, I guess you can do that. But I feel worthy because Jesus already made me worthy. And that's what causes me to get up with a smile on my face and say, bless God, let's do it again. No, not fall again, but let's go ahead and do it over and do it right this time. That's how you get the victory. You don't get the victory by sitting there saying, I'm such a sinner, I'm such a worm, and I want to walk right, but I just can't do it. Well, you walked to church tonight. I mean, not literally walk, but you got yourself to church tonight. You did something right. See, you got to stop building on what you already did, what you've already got. All right, let's close with this. Philemon. Is anybody's heart feeling a little better tonight? Philemon. Chapter 1, because there's only one chapter. Ooh, hallelujah. He says in verse 6, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Notice that. Your faith becomes more and more effective. You go from faith to faith by acknowledging all the good things that you already have. All the good things that are in you. It doesn't. You don't go from faith to faith by acknowledging what you don't have, what you never got yet, what you've been waiting for and expecting, but it never happened. Now you start acknowledging what you already have. Start acknowledging what you already have. Start recognizing what you already have. Make a big deal of that. And what's going to happen? Your faith's going to become more and more effective as you acknowledge what you already have. Whew, hallelujah. Standing in it, rejoicing. We're rejoicing in the more. Because of what we already have. So in other words, not in lack, waiting for abundance. We're already in abundance, just waiting for more. Just watching ourselves increase, expecting to increase as we're thanking and giving glory to God. Hallelujah. So we're in faith and hope at the same time. We're expecting bigger things of what we already have. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let's stand on our feet. Let's thank the Lord. Glory be to God. Acknowledge all the good things. Oh, hallelujah. Stop seeing bills and start seeing the blessings that God has blessed you with and allowed you to pay bills, praise God, to pay for those things, to buy those things. You're enjoying those things because he's given it to you, because he's given it to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for what you've given me. I'm going to stop seeing bills. Say that. Say, I'm going to stop seeing bills. And start seeing the blessings that I'm paying for, that God has given me the ability to pay for. Hallelujah. And as I acknowledge what he's given me to enjoy, I'll have more given to me to enjoy more. And I'll never lack because I'm in his house. The Father's always with me, and I'm always with him, and all that he has is mine all the time right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Woo, praise God forever. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. It's so powerful. I'm not going to see bills anymore. Every time you get a bill, don't go. Another bill. What's the bill? What's the bill for? For my car. My car. You got a car? You got a car? You mean you were able to buy a car? Yeah. You keep talking about the bill, then you might end up losing the car. People keep talking about the nagging bill, the bill, the bill, the bill, the bill, and they lose the car, they lose the house, they lose the donkey, they lose the whole thing.
Right? That's what happens. Stop seeing and talking the bill. Talk about all the blessings, man. Talk about all the blessings. Praise God. You see a bill, remind yourself what that is. Electricity. Oh, man, it looks good in here. Ooh, thank you, Lord, for lights. Thank you, Lord, for lights. Thank you, Lord, for heat. Doesn't matter what the weather is outside. Praise God. It's delightful in the house. Ooh, you've given these things to me to enjoy. I'm enjoying it, Lord. I'm enjoying it. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. I got money to pay for all these things. Praise God forever. It's a big turnaround, folks. That'll heal your heart real quick. Get you over into the things you're expecting. Because you're already in it by faith. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for the truth. The truth. You said we'll know the truth. The truth will set us free. Thank you, Lord, for exposing this deception. These deceptions.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.